Do
Yeah.
Hundred to one, I would say. They're about in England, about 30,000. Of course, quite a few thousand came as children.
Yeah.
They came here when they were 5, 6 years, taken from the parents and brought here, and they know hardly any German now. I forgot
True,
that.
I've realized.
And
Yeah.
people who came here, about 7 or 8 years, they have very little German, very little knowledge of Austrian literature.
Yeah.
And but I'm very happy to be interested in two cultures in English. Shakespeare means as much to me as Goethe.
Yeah.
And you have to have a certain age. If you are much older, 40 or 50, you never gained the confidence to interest yourself in English literature. You got stuck on the past.
May I ask you, did you learn English in Austria already? Or
well,
did
I
you
had.
Just
I was thinking. I had English at school at
yeah.
the Handelsakademie. How many years? 4 years. Is the thing running already?
Yeah, it's on.
Does it? No, no, I don't care. Does it react from that distance?
It's a very good microphone,
yeah.
So it should, but I'm going to check. It's far too loud.
Yeah. Very good microphone, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I think 4 years at the Handelsakademie.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came here, the first day I arrived, no, the next day I arrived, I went to a picture house. Went to the film.
Mm-hmm.
I thought to learn a bit of English.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very proud that I would be able to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was, I think it was a Greta Garbo film.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid sixpence and I could stay
in.
For as long as I liked. I went
yeah.
there at 2 o'clock and stayed there till 8 or 9 o'clock in
mm-hmm.
the evening. And I remember I was terribly disappointed because I only understood one word.
Yeah.
When she said no to him. That's all I understood. Didn't understand anymore. It took quite some time to get for the brain to readjust. Although I knew the words,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But in person to person, I could speak
mm-hmm.
simple sentences,
mm-hmm.
of course, because I knew the vocabulary.
Yeah.
But I remember. In the first days, there was a firm called Drinkwater.
Mm-hmm.
That was the name. And I saw a big lorry with Drinkwater on the side painted.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some water dripping out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, these poor people in England, they have to distribute the water, drinking water
yeah.
by lorry. I didn't realize
yeah.
that it's the name of a firm.
Mm-hmm. And did you attend night school classes to
no,
learn English? You
no,
just
No. I slept with a dictionary under my pillow.
Yeah.
That was my Bible. And don't forget, I knew all the rules
mm-hmm.
and the grammar.
True, because I mean, your English, yeah, the grammar is perfect. You,
yeah.
you don't make any mistakes at all.
Well, I had very responsible jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Even as early as my army days, I was the only foreigner in the statistical unit of Feldmarschall Montgomery. I was very near to him,
mm-hmm.
and we did very responsible and secret work. And I was very proud because I was a foreigner there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And no, at that time it didn't make any difference to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was within a year, so I think it didn't make any difference,
mm-hmm.
English or German.
So that's interesting because from what I know about the refugees who came to England, most of them were in sort of
groups,
and they were in, yeah, I don't know the term in English, in eigenen. Armeeeinheiten.
Yes, I was in the beginning.
Yeah.
But I was posted. When I joined the army, My father told me, if you ever have to join the army, don't put down your profession.
Mm-hmm.
Do something different in the
mm-hmm.
army. Don't do all your life an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
So I put down statistician. I thought the army doesn't need a statistician. But when they formed that unit, they
mm-hmm.
put all the cards, the computer cards, to
mm-hmm.
the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they only found in the whole British army of 1 million people, they found only 3 statisticians. So that's how I got posted from...
All right.
That was, I must say, the most interesting time of my whole life, was the work we had to do
mm-hmm.
there. And of course I spoke only English, there was nobody there who could speak German. And when I got into France, we got very soon after the army got into France,
mm-hmm.
I got into France. We did statistics such as how many tanks we lost every day, and
mm-hmm.
all that was reported to us, and we had to report it back to the war office,
mm-hmm.
and they sent the right equipment,
mm-hmm.
and that's just a part of it. Then when I got into Germany, I kept away from the Germans. I felt uneasy because of my colleagues. They shouldn't think I make brotherly love with the Germans just because I'm originating from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have any, unless I was told to make a contact with
mm-hmm.
somebody for some reason, I kept away from it completely. The others had girlfriends in Germany, I kept away from all
mm-hmm.
that. I was a good boy. Long time ago.
But didn't your... Well, the army officials ask you to make contact with the Germans because of your
At the later stage, after the end of the war,
mm-hmm.
I was in Herford with army headquarters,
mm-hmm.
and I had to make a statistic on all the German vehicles which are left over.
Mm-hmm. Army vehicles, or?
Army and private.
Mm-hmm.
And ambulance and fire engines, everything
mm-hmm.
that moved.
Yeah.
And in what conditions they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had to arrange everything. We had to arrange for repairs, and we had to arrange for factories to make parts for them. Otherwise
mm-hmm.
the whole German economy would have completely broken down. So that had to be done by somebody who was able to speak German,
mm-hmm.
because I had to contact all the Bürgermeister in all the towns, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this job with the help of one other English officer and 32 girls from a German high school, from a gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
32 girls helped me. They punched the cards, computer cards,
yeah.
you see.
And
I must say I had no trouble with them. They were very nice,
mm-hmm.
and they all did their job very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was surprising because I thought they will all resent us coming, you
mm-hmm.
see, they will hate us. I didn't notice anything. There was no difficulties or differences or antagonism. They just did their job. They
mm-hmm.
were glad not to go to school and...
to make money.
Yes, they were, but, well, we didn't pay them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But still better than being
Yeah, well, they got rations, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, we gave them cigarettes for their parents
mm-hmm.
and things like
yeah.
that. And that was very valuable for
mm-hmm.
them. But I had no complaints, and when we did ask them at some time, we had hundreds of thousands of cards of German prisoners of war, which
mm-hmm.
there were hundreds of thousands of them, and we wanted to sort out the SS officers
mm-hmm.
and to keep them longer.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls had the task. And I was afraid they would let them slip through. I thought their sympathy.
Yeah.
And we made many tests.
Did you?
And I never found out a girl who let. I put some cards in a.
Mm-hmm.
And knew there were 2 SS officers in one
room. Amongst pack. Them, yeah. yeah.
And I wondered, you know.
Yeah.
And they always reported it.
Yeah.
There was, I was most surprised.
And what was reported on the computer cards you had?
Well, the age and the name and in which prison camp they were,
mm-hmm.
And because the ordinary soldiers we wanted to get rid of, wanted to release as quickly as possible, and concentrate only on the political and especially SS officers and such like.
Yeah, of course.
They didn't deserve to go home quickly.
True, no way. So you didn't feel any resentment?
None at all.
None at all.
None at all. I remember when the British Army crossed the Rhine, the war was still on, I was asked to go across the Rhine. There was a factory which used the same computer, Holroyd machines, as we used. And we had so much work, we needed another machine. And I went there with another officer, and we found there was nobody there in the factory, only the caretaker. So I told him, and he was most obliging, yes sir, and there's another machine here if you want one. You know, don't think that the English people would have been like that. So, you know, he bowed down to the floor and was so obliging. I was sick of it, really.
Was he submissive? Or?
Terribly submissive. We did nothing to him. But we just came the day before the Germans had been there, and the next day I came, you see.
Yeah.
And he was afraid, probably. That we
insecure, maybe.
We didn't do anything to him, or had no intention of doing it. We just wanted to borrow one of these machines, which we did. My headquarters was at that time still in Brussels. I took the machines back to Brussels. Once I found resentment. That was in the early days when we still had to carry a gun with us, you know, when we were in the streets. I went for a walk in Herford, in Westfalen. And there were two German telephone workers in a manhole, you understand the manhole, in the Stasi, in ein Loch, wo sie gearbeitet haben.
So ein Kanalloch.
And they saw me coming. And when they saw me coming, they started to sing National-Socialistische Lieder.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything. I stood there smiling as if I was an idiot. And the other said to the other one, sollte man nicht aufhören? Sagte, der Depp versteht eh nix. Und auf einmal habe ich in Urwienerisch die Leute angeschrien.
Ui.
You should have seen. They couldn't believe it, you know.
Yeah.
Sie sollen hinausgehen. Aber ich habe ihnen nichts getan. Aber die
haben
einen Schock bekommen.
Yeah. Die dachten nicht, dass sie
ein englischer
Soldat in englischer Uniform.
Nicht nur in Wienerisch, in Urwienerisch. Ne? But you want to know really more scientific things, don't you?
No, it's just doesn't make any difference what we are talking about, not at all. I mean, I'm very much interested because somehow I thought, well, I was expecting people to be submissive, Germans, to be submissive.
As long as they have a Führer, as long as there's somebody to tell them, I found it everywhere in Germany after the war. There was no resentment was shown. They were all and it was that sort of thing was unpleasant because at least don't. You know, you don't have to shoot at us, but at least don't be helpful.
True.
Everybody was over-friendly.
But you see, I just don't understand how people's minds work. Whether they're so much involved in the economical life and all that's important to them is their job. And first they worked for the Führer, and then they worked for the British Army.
Yeah.
For example, like die Gymnasiastinnen you were talking about. How does the mind work? How do they sort?
Well, they were young. They were 16, 17 years old. But they were a bit afraid. I don't know. But they were very well treated, like we treated our own girls. We had plenty of ATS girls. There was no difference. We didn't command them, we didn't, like the Germans, shout at people and command them.
Yeah.
It didn't exist with us. But the same goes in Vienna. The same goes. There was no difference in Vienna, but first, I was in Vienna when the Germans came, of course, because I left only 3 weeks before war broke out.
That late?
Yes.
You got out via Holland?
Via Aachen.
Aachen?
Aachen, Holland, yes, by train, yeah. I was arrested still by the Gestapo in Aachen.
In Aachen?
They took me out of the train. I just had to tell them, I had to invent a story. We had a spy in the Gestapo in Vienna. I was very active politically in Vienna, a social democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a spy in the Gestapo, and I had her telephone number in case I get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And they arrested me, and I told them, "How dare you arrest me? I'm going to London on the instruction of the Gestapo." They shouted at me, ridiculous. I said, "All right, here's the telephone number. Phone the Gestapo in Vienna." Luckily, they didn't.
But you still had the number, and they could have rung, and it would have been a Gestapo number.
Oh yes, that was her number on her desk. But all they did is they phoned telephone exchange in Vienna and asked what this number was.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Oh, this is eine Geheimnummer von der Gestapo."
Mm-hmm.
That they let me go.
God.
Yes, it was just by a hairbreadth.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. Life is like that, you know. Pure chance that so many of those survivors survived by pure coincidence.
Yeah.
Pure.
Mm. Mm. And did you know that it was very late for you to get out?
Oh, I knew.
Did you try to stay in Vienna as long as possible?
No. There was no chance. It was nobody let you in. You couldn't get a visa. It was a pure coincidence that my sister was here as a housemaid, and her boss, when he heard that I was still in Vienna, arranged for me to get a visa. But it was pure coincidence. She hadn't even asked. He came to her room, and she saw my photos there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Who is that young man, your boyfriend?" She said, "No, it's my brother."
Mm-hmm.
"Where is he?" "Oh, he's in Vienna." "In Vienna? Why is he still in Vienna? Come on, let's get him a visa. Get him out." It was just, you know, fantastic coincidence. She wouldn't have dared to ask him for any favors.
Yeah. So you got to know your wife in England?
No. I knew her for 7 years already in Vienna.
So
I knew her, but we were not married. We married here after I came out of the army.
Mm-hmm. And did you come to England with your wife or on your own?
No. They're quite independent. She came here as a housemaid and dienstmädchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I came here as a... only on the understanding that I would leave as soon as I get my visa for the United States.
You wanted to carry on to the States?
I wanted to go even to China. I didn't care where, as long
just
as I could get out.
Get out, yeah.
But I had been promised a visa for the United States, which dragged on and on and on. And I had some documents to prove that I'm waiting for it. And this waiting period, I'm still waiting. Yeah.
And did you ever consider going back to Austria or?
I was a lot in Vienna, as I told you,
yeah.
Because the head office of that office I worked for.
Mm-hmm.
But once I was married here and had a son here, I made one application. Am Schopenhain kam sie das Hauptbüro.
CA.
Yeah, the CA. They needed somebody with specialist knowledge of organizing factories.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my job. This
okay,
is my Betriebsorganisation.
Uh-huh.
So And there was somebody in the CA who wrote me I should make an application.
Mm-hmm.
But I never heard of it again.
Mm.
I would have gone for that sort of position. It would have been not just a clerk, it would have been an interesting position.
Yeah.
And I would have gone, but just to start making applications for a job, no.
Sure. At that age, yeah.
No. I was working here all the time and and I had a son here.
Mm. So you feel at home here?
Do I? I don't know. Sometimes I walk down the street and say, the heck, what am I doing here? I don't belong. I don't belong to Austria and I don't belong to here. I tell you, the tragedy is with younger people. They when they left Austria at 7 or 8 or 9 years, their German is not perfect any longer.
Mm.
And their English has never become perfect.
True, yeah.
So they're nowhere where they can say, I belong.
Mm.
Whether I belong, I have many friends here. And
English friends?
Mostly English friends. Yes, mostly English friends. Not all, not many succeeded.
True, yeah.
Mostly English. I have also Austrian friends, but very good English friends. And I've never in this country heard any remark about a foreigner or anything. Never, never. One is accepted. And nobody asks. When you get very friendly with people, they will ask, where were you born? I can hear on your English, you know.
Yeah.
But no resentment, nothing.
Mm.
This country is wonderful, really, in that respect.
True, yeah.
I came back to Vienna on one or two occasions. My German is Buchdatterdeutsch.
Mm-hmm.
That's not spoken in Austria anymore in the street.
No, not at all.
And I was asked where I'm from. And when I told him, I'm from Vienna, they didn't believe me. Because I didn't speak like they, and I would be a foreigner there, in other words, if I went back.
But you said early on that when you shouted at the two blokes working for the telephone company, you used Wienerisch.
Yeah, I can speak Wienerisch.
So you can speak Wienerisch, Burgtheaterdeutsch, and did you pick up an accent, a typically British accent? For example, a London accent, or
no, I don't think so. No,
I wouldn't say so either.
No. I have an Austrian accent in my English.
Mm, oh, very little, very little.
Yes, oh yes, I know. When I hear myself,
I know how I sound.
the th is difficult for us foreigners.
But. Somehow when I concentrate, I get the TH right. But I don't know, the longer I live here in England, and the more confident I feel about the language, the less attention I pay, for example, to vowel sounds.
Mm.
And sometimes my O's and O's, they are just wishy-washy.
The V and the W, I give myself away with the V and the W, you know. But I can express myself better in English, much better.
In English in German?
I think my English vocabulary is much richer. Not because I know so good, but the English language is much richer.
True, yeah.
Now, an Austrian or German Arbeiter will use about 2,000 words in his daily language.
Mm.
You will know better than me.
Mm.
And the educated person will use about 12,000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't speak of the highly educated.
Yeah. Oh, that's
silly. Okay. Let's turn
should
it off
I
for a minute.
Switch it off? Yeah.
Ja, wo sind wir stecken geblieben? I told you some story, but I forgot now what it was.
We were talking about Burgtheater Deutsch. Wienerisch and English.
Yeah, well, my Viennese was not not like the broad Viennese they speak today, yeah. You know, ugly Viennese, I think it was
horrible.
A bisschen eleganter.
Mm-hmm.
But ich kann es nicht mehr.
Das hört man ja. Viel besser eigentlich als ich, weil also meine Familie ist zwar ursprünglich aus Wien, die mussten dann aber während des Zweiten Weltkriegs nach Oberösterreich ziehen, weil meine Großmutter polnische Jüdin war und in Wien die Bäckerei, die musste zugesperrt werden. Und darum bin ich in Oberösterreich eigentlich aufgewachsen und meine Eltern sind auch dort geblieben.
Did your grandmother survive the war? She was dead already by then?
No, she committed suicide.
Oh. So many tragedies.
Yeah. Mm. It's such an awful story.
And now again the nationalism is lifting its ugly head all over Europe, all over the world. I don't know what's gone into the human beings.
Definitely.
About this bilingual, I told you, but we haven't got it on tape to remind you. As I grow older, I find that listening to a play, we go, have you been to the play yet? And the question is no. We go to a local theater, sometimes a town, of course. My ears don't hear the English as well as the German. I can hear a German film, and I heard one the other day in Schwäbisch, and I understood every word.
Yeah.
And with English, although my vocabulary in English is better than the German vocabulary, it's beginning to, the older I get, the less I understand. And I'm told by an ear specialist that it's the natural thing. Your mind is more accepting more easily the language you have grown up with than the language you have learned in later years. And he said that will go on and on, and it will come to it that when you go shopping you will suddenly say potatoes, you will ask for kartoffel. These things happen. Sometimes I begin to forget. You are young, it doesn't occur with you. Sometimes I can't recall the English word or the German word I always know. Although it happens sometimes the other way around as well, but it's mostly the English word I'm sometimes missing.
That's so interesting because
But that goes probably for every language, you know.
But I've never heard it because all the linguists concerned with second language learning, they're always talking about young people and children learning second languages, and they put forward a theory that up to the age of seven to 13, you learn to reproduce the sound systems of the second language the exact way.
Yeah.
And you gain native-like competence in the second language, even on a phonological level. But nobody is talking about people who grow older.
To revert to the...
That this whole process seems to revert. That's interesting.
Yes. I notice, I'm afraid almost, because it can happen that I'm with an English person suddenly using a German phrase, unwittingly. Mm-hmm. Which seems to prove that as I grow older, that the mind, if you asked me, do I think in German or in English, I wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Both languages are the same to me. And as I told you, if I switch from an English station to a German station, I don't even notice it's a different language.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think in German? It seems to be that the older I get, the more I revert to thinking back in German, because you wouldn't otherwise suddenly utter a word in German when you are in English company. Has that ever happened to you? No, you're too young for that sort of thing. You wait when you're my age.
It's interesting because sometimes when I'm really tired, I find that I just mix in loads of German, unconsciously mixing in loads of German words. And also, I was in Brighton for a New Year's party only last week. and by 2 o'clock I got slightly dizzy, and I realized that I was
drunk too much.
Yeah, first of all, and I was speaking half German and half English, and I only noticed because only those people, I have a couple of friends who did a German degree, and only those stayed with me because they were the only ones who couldn't understand me when I was speaking.
So you must have been well away.
Well, not that badly. It was I was relaxed and.
Yeah, but that is not the same because your mind was influenced by alcohol.
Yeah.
In my case, my mind is influenced by old age.
It's rather maybe different. It's got similar effects on the on the mind, on the brain, on the language producing cells in your brain. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. But this understanding better when the German words than English words, it frightens me a little bit because after all I'm at home in this country. But maybe I won't be around long enough to worry about it too much. So what else you want to know?
I'm just trying to work that out because is it easier for you just to speak English? You either speak English or you speak German.
Oh, that makes no
because
difference to me.
It's not, I was just trying to recall the way I was speaking. And now it seems natural to me that I speak mainly English, but I do have some friends with whom I just get into the mood of speaking both languages at the same time. It's just a certain way of speaking, like a language of its own, completely.
We speak mostly German to each other. And with your husband, I also spoke only German. He said servus to me. The old greeting, which I haven't heard in England, anybody would
servus,
say to me.
Yeah, servus, papa, tschüss.
Yes, I remember where I interrupted. I said that the ordinary working class man in Austria uses about 2,000 words.
Vocabulary, yeah.
And the educated, not, I don't speak of a university level, but the ordinary educated, semi-educated person speaks about 12 to 18,000 words in use in their daily language. 12,000. And the working class Englishman uses only 700 words as against the German 2,000 in his daily language. He's much less educated. But the educated English person uses 20 to 25,000 words in his daily language. And I remember I sometimes in the army, especially, I had to translate declarations, you know, to the people from English into German so that they would understand the directions, how to fill the forms in about these motor cars and all that. And they were always twice as long in German.
In German, yeah.
Because you can express yourself in English so much more clearly,
clear,
with precise words, which in German you have to use 2 or 3 words to get the same effect. Also, legal documents, which English is the language of commerce, world commerce. Legal contact in English is a pleasure to do, because you can be so precise that. Nicht zweideutig.
Yeah.
Whereas in German you have to be much more complicated to express yourself. Maybe for me only, but I can see also translations are always about twice as long in German than they are in English.
And also I love going to Old Bailey's, just listening to the lawyers, and it's not only short, precise and clear, but it's also funnier. It seems to me as if, because you can express yourself maybe more clearly, or there's just a certain set of words and phrases which is repeated again and again, It seems to me as if they make up for the time they later on use for witty remarks.
I hope you were on the right side of the dock in the Old Bailey.
Yeah, I go there often. I really love
people
it.
People go there, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting.
I know, I saw the queues. My office was opposite the Old Bailey. Every day there were hundreds of people. I never went in. I never was interested to see the misery of people getting into trouble.
Mm. That's true. You know, I went there mainly for a purely linguistic reason, just
to hear
the language and to hear the skill
of the lawyers.
Of the lawyers.
Yeah, it is very interesting. Yes.
And I don't know whether maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I found that if lawyers were really good, then they could manipulate those people who had got in difficult.
Not the witnesses.
Those people who got into trouble with law, they could manipulate them even more than lawyers can in the German language.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe it's just because I don't ever go to the Verfassungsgericht.
The law in this country is entirely different than to the German law. German law is the old Roman law, and the English law is a law of precedence.
Mm.
You understand precedence?
Yeah.
Was schon einmal passiert ist.
Mhm. Yeah.
Wir haben kein bürgerliches Gesetzbuch.
Yeah.
Paragraph 144 or whatever it was. That doesn't exist. But if a similar case has been committed 280 years ago, they look it up,
and
the judge will go by what was decided 280 years ago.
It's a funny way of handling it.
So what else can I tell you? I'm dreaming, well, like everybody else. And when I wake up, I immediately have a tape recorder and dictate my dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. Sometimes the dream is I'm going about in Vienna, and sometimes it's evenly divided. Sometimes I'm in London or in England or in America or in Canada, but I'm very often back in Vienna.
And when you dream about being in Vienna, do you dream in German?
I wonder. No, I don't know, because I write it down in English, so I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. But it always ends the same way. I don't find my way back. I always get lost. In this country too, I go for lunch in the from office, and I don't find my way back into the office. Or every second dream, I think, I get lost somewhere and can't find back. I must have lost something in life and trying to. I wish I would dream of a pretty girl once. I never do.
I dream quite often about being unable to make myself understood. I never dream about getting lost. Or, for example, some people always dream about falling off cliffs or mountains.
Yeah, no, that doesn't.
No,
happen.
It's just the most recurrent dream I have is just being unable to express myself and make myself understood. And
you don't have to worry about that.
Really get across what I mean. Maybe it's just a preoccupation with my.
Studies too.
Yeah.
I told the young lady about your friend in Canton. What was his name? Or is his name?
A couple of people are doing studies, not so much on the linguistic level as I do.
It records anyway.
Yeah, gerne.
No, Dr. Wilmer is a professor of English and American Studies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Er ist momentan in Amerika. Mm-hmm. 6 Monate Austausch, er kommt zurück.
Und er hat in London auch Interviews gemacht?
Ja, ja. Viele, aber andere. Nicht linguistische Interviews.
Yeah. Und
all histories of Austrians in exile, of Austrians who live here.
Yeah. Und hat er.
Das kommt jetzt heraus, das Buch.
Mm-hmm.
Ja.
Und hat er da ein ja, Set of Questions gehabt oder hat er einfach nur eine Einleitungsfrage gestellt und
man hat selbst reden müssen, er hat schon Fragen gestellt, auch gewisse, er wollte gewisse Themen nicht
Es ist nämlich interessant, sehr viele Leute fragen mich, ob wenn sie wissen, dass ein Mikrofon da ist, dann glauben sie, dass das ein ganz hochoffizielles Interview mit Frage-Antwort sein muss. Und
nein.
Ich finde es so viel angenehmer. Man kommt so und so von einer Sache auf die andere.
You remember afterwards, when you replay it, you remember and take out the salient points that you want to record.
It's better than taking notes, as one used to do.
Yeah, much better. And also, it's also the tone of the voice and the hesitation pauses and all the rest of it that's really interesting when you listen to the tapes again. And sometimes you realize that you're getting really stuck in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And for example, on Sunday I did an interview with Eli Charo, Pushy's painter living in Hampstead. And I didn't know much about her, I just got to know her via a friend of mine, and she left Ingolstadt when she was only 2 years old. And then she, for example, told me that she only learned German from the year from her parents listening to her parents speaking, and she told me that she has got loads of legal documents up in the attic, and that she finds it difficult to read German, so all she can do is read it out aloud and then she understands it. Which I found really interesting.
Well, you continue sitting in this chair and I'll make some coffee. You have some coffee, yeah? You drink coffee?
Yeah, please, yeah. I love coffee. Welche Österreicher leiden nicht unter dem englischen Kaffee?
No, you get a Viennese cup of coffee from me, I promise you.
Sehr starken Kaffee machen.
Wirklich?
Ja. Darf ich auch, wollen Sie mich auch etwas fragen oder etwas sagen?
Gerne.
Nämlich dieses, was er gesagt hat von dem, dass man besser Deutsch hört, wenn man schwerhörig ist. Mein Mann war schwerhörig auch. Und das allererste, was ihn der Ohrenspezialist gefragt hat, wie das erste Mal dort war, gesagt, hören Sie besser in Englisch oder in Deutsch? Er hat in Deutsch, also das wissen die. Das ist nicht das Hören, das Gehirn reagiert
das
schneller auf. Ja, wahrscheinlich, Aber weil ich weiß nicht, was Fred Ihnen schon erzählt hat, aber wie wir zuerst nach England gekommen sind, haben wir geglaubt, wir können sehr gut Englisch von der Schule und von, ich habe sogar eine Universität für Englisch. Die gesprochene Sprache hier war ganz, ganz verschieden. Erstens haben wir falsche Aussprache gelernt, zum Großteil. Zweitens waren wir doch nicht gewöhnt an diese Idioms, an das Colloquial Englisch. Ein Buch Englisch ist doch ganz anders. Und es hat doch eine Weile gedauert, bis wir das erlernt haben. Und ich kann mich erinnern, das erste Mal, dass ich in Englisch geträumt bin, aufgewacht und habe gesagt, ich habe in Englisch geträumt. Das heißt, jetzt ist mir die Sprache
jetzt
schon vertraut.
Kann ich's, ne?
Und wir haben sehr viel gemischt im Anfang, so wie Sie sagen, in Breiten und Years. Wir haben Deutsch gesprochen und plötzlich englische Phrasen hineingegeben, aus Faulheit aus, weil man hat etwas in Englisch viel präziser mit drei Worten ausdrücken können als und wir haben uns dann sehr bemüht, das nicht zu machen, denn das ist entweder man spricht Deutsch oder man spricht Englisch, aber wir haben sehr viel gemischt.
Also das ist interessant, Sie glauben auch, dass es Faulheit ist.
Ich glaube, es ist Faulheit. Oder wir haben schon mehr in Englisch gedacht, auch wenn wir Deutsch gesprochen haben.
War das eigentlich?
Ich glaube zum Beispiel heute, der Fred sagt, ihm fallen oft deutsche Worte ein, wenn er Englisch spricht. Ich habe oft Schwierigkeiten, wenn ich Deutsch spreche, das richtige deutsche Wort zu finden. Es würde mir leicht fallen, das englische Wort zu sagen. Ich muss manchmal nachdenken, wie ist das eigentlich der richtige Ausdruck in Deutsch? Das heißt, wahrscheinlich denke ich Englisch, auch wenn ich Deutsch spreche. Ich lese auch viel lieber Englisch als Deutsch. Mein Mann hat sehr viel Deutsch gelesen. Ich lese auch Deutsch, aber gewisse Bücher von Günter Grass oder so, das komme ich heute fast nicht mehr mit, wenn das wirklich ein sehr schwieriges Buch ist in Deutsch. Das
Wirklich?
Ja, wirklich.
Also vom Sprechen
her. Ich bin nicht so jung, wie er sagt. Ich bin auch 73. Ich bin auch schon eine alte Dame, natürlich.
Wahnsinn, ich über 80. Ich hätte sie mindestens 10 Jahre jünger geschätzt.
Nein. Aber ich glaube, ich weiß nicht, woher er die Statistiken hat von dem Wortschatz. Weil Englisch nicht meine Muttersprache ist, wird sich vielleicht wundern, habe ich eine gewisse Reluctance, eine gewisse Zurückhaltung, gewisse Ausdrücke oder Worte zu verwenden, die so sehr englisch sind.
Ja.
Können Sie das verstehen? Ja. Ich will nicht sagen, das Vocabulary ist kleiner, denn es ist da, ich verstehe es, wenn
ich höre. Und die Idioms sind auch da,
alles die Phrases. Ist da. Die Idioms und die Phrases, das ist kein Problem. Aber die Wortwahl ist, glaube ich, beschränkt, wenn ich Englisch spreche.
Ja.
Ich weiß nicht warum, aber es ist so. Wissen Sie, es gibt kein Wort, das ich nicht verstehe. Und das ist sehr, sehr selten, dass ich einmal sage, was heißt das eigentlich. Yeah. Aber selber diese Worte oft zu verwenden, ich weiß nicht warum. Ich glaube, meine Ausdrucksweise in Englisch ist irgendwie beschränkter.
Könnte das vielleicht damit zusammenhängen, ich weiß nicht, ob Sie sich da zu Hause fühlen oder ob Sie schon